It's 11 p.m. You're listening to Light Night Meditations on WSCALP Portsmouth 106.1 on your FM dial. Some of you are streaming us live online at WSCAFM.org. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. I'm here with Jim. Hey, Jim from Turn It Up, Saturday 6 to 8, everybody's favorite hard rock and heavy metal show.
Absolutely. Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Always a pleasure.
You're here tonight because it's a Night of the Witch.
Right.
It's a Night of the Witch. As the Ghost song goes, it's a Night of the Witch.
Yep.
We're listening to The Boys of Winter.
Yeah, this is an excellent.
Yeah, Pittsburgh Penguins theme song recorded by Icarus Witch.
Nice.
And I'm thinking that the Witch has got a... They got to record a Boston Bruins theme song.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that would be most appropriate for a show like Black Knight Meditations, for a radio station like WSCA.
Right.
The Witch has got to record a Boston Bruins theme song. So Quinn, guitar player for Icarus Witch, is on the line with us now. Quinn, what do you think the chances are of you guys recording a Boston Bruins theme song?
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on. This is so that's just unacceptable, man. You guys got to do it. Come on.
No, there's no way, man. We're Pens through and through. Black and gold, man.
Come on, black and gold, exactly. That's the Bruins. If you could do it for the lowly...
No. Give me that crap.
No, if you can do it for the lowly Pens, you can do it for the awesome Bruins. Come on, man.
Actually, if you check out Amazon and iTunes and IcarusWitch.com and all that tomorrow, you'll hear Boys of Winter, which is the Pens theme song, tomorrow.
And the day
recorded
after,
recorded by Icarus Witch. So right. There you have it.
The day after it will be the Boston Bruins theme song. So it's a worldwide exclusive right here on BNM. You've heard it from Quinn.
He's I'm telling you, honest to God.
Well, I got to tell you that Boys of Winter, that's pretty good, man. That's a solid recording. I mean, that's something that I definitely could easily hear
that rules.
In any sort of sports arena. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. I can see the team coming out right now to that song. You know, it makes perfect sense. Now, Jim and I have been Icarus Witch fans, or as I like to call you guys, Icarus Witch, as I have been. I've been calling you guys Icarus Witch for the last 5 years, and you finally corrected me when we hung out backstage at the Paul Di'Anno show back in December. Over at the, Showcase Live? Was the name of it?
Yeah, Showcase Live down in Foxborough.
Yeah.
That was a pretty killer show, I must admit, by the way. You guys put on an awesome set.
That was the first night of the tour.
No disasters on the first night of the tour?
No, actually, that was one of the best ones.
Oh, well, of course, because we were there, we hung out, that's why. It was all downhill after that. I mean, how can you match it, right?
we had a good lengthy sound check and everything, and just kind of going over screwy parts and here and there, and it's like, well, it can only go downhill from here. No.
Well, it took Jim and I were driving from Maine, which is where we're from, and it was a horrible snowstorm.
Oh, my God.
Awful driving conditions. It took us 3 hours to get there. 3 hours.
I do remember that. I went outside with Jason, and I looked at the parking lot. I was like, oh, my God, no one's going to come out.
Yeah. Oh, the weather was awful that
night. It was terrible. Well, we finally made it. You were like the sixth song into your set, so we missed half your set right as you were announcing your new song, Tragedy. I'm like, oh, I love this song. We just heard it today for the first time. I got to get in there and see it. And that's actually part of why we wanted you to call in tonight, because we want to find out what is going on with Icarus Witch, because you released the song Tragedy late last year online for everybody to hear. You did a second Di'Anno tour. Of course, you'd done one way earlier in the year. You've also done the Y&T tour, and obviously it's time to follow up Draw Down the Moon. So with this song Tragedy being a few months old now, we want to know what is going on in the Icarus Witch camp. So give us some updates other than you recording the Boston Bruins theme song.
Slated right next to the Boston Bruins theme song is nothing. But other than that, there's a new Witch album in the works, which has, we're working on, it's going to be a big album, man. We got like 11, 12 songs, I think, slated for it.
No, when you say that it's going to be a big album, are you talking lengthwise? Are you talking scope? I mean, define big.
Both, because it's something completely different for us. As you guys know, we have a new vocalist
who's great, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
A second guitar player.
So are you going for any kind of overall theme? Or when we spoke with you recently, you had mentioned something about in the past you'd want to have your own version of Operation Mindcrime, and as I expect most metal bands do.
Absolutely. I remember this conversation very well.
Okay.
But no, I mean, we want something that's absolutely going to be timeless. And so we're just putting in the time, the effort, and the work to make it that. And like I said, we're just building everything up to song-wise. So where there's not, you know, not just like a few catchy, oh, man, that's a good song, but every album, you know, or every song on the album is just unbelievable. You know, to where, like, everything catches your ear. Everything says, wow, that's really good. And that's what we want. We want something like Mindcrime, to where you can say, oh, wow, there's the chorus. There's, you know, there's the hook. There's the guitar parts. Wow, and everything sticks in your head.
Well,
and
yeah, I mean,
it's going to sound like Mindcrime, because it doesn't at all. I can tell you right now, it doesn't sound like Mindcrime, but it has that vibe of everything that us metalheads love.
Well, sir, you got to aim high for sure, and set your sights on like a Mindcrime kind of vibe. That's aiming high. I mean, that's I think that's what you got to do.
I mean, it's not a traditional witch album. By any means, but it's the same token. It's giving something that's well needed, I think, in the metal community, and we're just all really excited about it.
Okay, well, you know what? Since you mentioned that, I want you to expand upon that. When you said well needed in the metal community, what exactly do you mean by that? I mean, is this something you think that when you're hearing this music in your head that you're writing, is this something you think just isn't out there in metal, or is it something there's not enough of? I mean, when you say well needed, you know, just expand upon that a little bit.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what I mean. I think it's, you know, we've always been the band to say, well, this is the kind of stuff that we like and we want to hear, so let's write it, instead of, you know, searching for a band to like. And, you know, so as far as, you know, it's well needed in the fact that, well, quite frankly, I mean, you don't hear enough courses in, like, newer metal. You don't hear enough of the old school, you know, harmony breakdowns and song structure and vocal lines and stuff that you can really latch onto.
So,
and I think that's something that we're going to bring to the table with this next album that really just, I don't know, takes the witch, you know, a step ahead of where we were, rather than being lumped in with Dragon Rock and all that stuff.
So would you say that Tragedy is a good example of what we can expect out of the record?
Yeah, absolutely. Just for the fact that, I mean, Chris's vocals on it slam, and it just has this big melody, catchy hook that's catchy, but
yeah,
yet
definitely,
it's still metal, you know. And there's nothing wrong with writing good song if you're a metal band, you know what I mean?
Well, as I had told you guys, and Jim here agreed with me, that song is awesome. I mean, and I felt it as soon as I heard it. I'm like, okay, this is already my favorite Witch song. And, you know, it was, I liked it more than, like, say, Capture the Magic or your killer Alice Cooper cover. I mean, there are a lot of great Witch songs, and this one just leapt to the top. I mean, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, yeah, I want to hear more like this. And not that it's really anything that different. I mean, it really isn't. It sounds like The Witch to me. But at the same time, I also felt like there was something in this song that I didn't really get from the other records. To this day, I still am not sure what exactly it is. You know, I don't think it's necessarily the vocalist change, or there's just something about this song that's a little bit different that I just felt like, okay, this is what I feel I've been missing out of the Icarus Witch material that I've heard so far. And
I think overall, what it is it's the integrity of five guys getting together and really, you know, just taking a song to the next level, other than just taking an idea and just going with just that idea. This is really a culmination of five guys, you know, being on the road, writing songs while we're on the road, and, you know, knowing what works for us and what we want to do, and taking that to the next level. And I think that's what really translates.
Since you write on the road, are you going to find yourselves writing more lyrics that have to do with, for lack of a better term, reality? In other words, you know, real life issues, everyday kind of things, things that you experience while on the road. I mean, that going to affect the lyrics?
Yeah, I mean, lyric wise, it's all up in the air. I mean, we could talk about anything from sorry, man, just got had a disgruntled patron in the bathroom here. But
let's not talk about what you're doing while you're on the. No, I'm just kidding. What's going on over there?
I'm straight up partying, man. I'm out here drinking in the bar.
Oh, you're hanging out at the Circle K eating dinner. That's
right. Oh, yeah. I'm at the local watering hole taking all the, my writing aggressions against the world. But, I don't know. Sorry, the dude pissing in front of me just took away all my attention.
Yeah, how metal is that?
Yeah, that was completely weird.
There's not enough talk about public urination and metal, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to lyrically speaking. You know, I mentioned a little while ago being not so much the dragon rock. So having said that, is there any disdain in the witch camp for dragon rock, or is it just been there, done that, or do you just really hate that?
It's not that we hate it. We definitely don't hate it. It's part of who we are. I mean, as you can say, you know, and it's one of those things. It's like, we have a few of those tunes slated for this album that are very much traditional Icarus Witch. And we just build upon them, I guess you could say. And, like, I hate saying things like that, because that always means, like, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're not going to shred or they're not going to sing? And no, it's not that at all. There's tunes on this album that burn, completely burn, and the more so, in fact, because, you know, along with the melodic stuff we're writing, you know, as far as like hooks and choruses, we're also thinking about, like, all right, how can we start out a song with a burning ass guitar solo? And so, you know, we think about ways of doing that. And And I want to incorporate more guitars in the sound. That's something that we've always slated for the guitar solos rather than the rhythms or the parts of the song. So there's more guitars, there's more drums, which I'm completely happy with.
No,
and it's one of those things where, like, we've always been on the back burner with, like, drum parts, you know. We've always kind of, like, let the vocals be out front.
Right, okay. I see where you're going with it. Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder what you meant exactly by more guitars and more drums, but I think I get what you're saying about how, yeah, I guess in... vocally, you know, which is, as a listener, always seems to be like vocals first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got a guitar melody there to sort of back up the vocals. And it's almost like the other instruments are sort of, not that they're left out, but they're kind of like more in a supporting role. So you're saying now the guitars and drums are just going to be more up front, or there's going to be a lot more going on?
Yeah, I mean, overall, like song-wise, there's going to be a lot more, like, guitars and drum work, which, I mean, the drum parts have been something that I've always kind of thought that they could be more, you know, with the whole catalog. It's like, there's always, you know, you can always do something more, and there's always, you know, you can always do something more on guitar. You know, nothing's ever as good as it can be to me. and you know, to be an honest musician. And so we're really trying to make an album that's comparable to all of our favorite albums, that really does us justice, that says, hey man, we have a drummer. Here he is.
Yeah, I never knew you guys had a drummer before, so
yeah.
And are you is this gonna be released by Cleopatra?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so now that I've quizzed you enough on the new record, yeah, I got to put you on the spot with some of your...
All right, do it, man. You got me so far.
with some of your previous records. And when we spoke a few months ago, Jason had touched on this a little bit that, he doesn't really go back and listen to the old stuff. And I'm wondering, not necessarily do you go back and listen to it, but are you, when you think back on some of the songs that you've done in the past, do you ever say to yourself, wow, I wrote a classic, or wow, that was really a total waste of 4 minutes? I mean, do you feel that strongly about any of your past tunes, like one way or the other?
Yeah, I could probably give you the waste of 4 minutes, but Jason will probably kill me.
Do it, dude, please. He's not listening. I mean, this may be on the radio. No, nobody's listening.
All right, Jason, this one's for you. Nebaton Forest is a waste of 4 minutes.
Oh, I so agree with Jason. That's not a waste. Really? Well, what don't you like about it?
No, actually, he would agree with me on that one. No, I don't know. It's I love playing it. I absolutely love playing that song, but for some reason, it just never translates to the crowd.
You mean the crowd just kind of stands there and like, what? Get off stage?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes from like head bobbing to all the guitar shreddy stuff that I'm doing, to the point to where they're like, okay, you've played enough crazy notes, just stop and give me a rhythm.
So you like playing it, but it just, so you're basically saying it's a waste in a live setting.
No, I can't even say that either, because I mean, you have the guys that come there just for that, but there's guys that scream that all night if we don't play it.
All right, so on the flip side, do you think that there's anything in your catalog where you're like, man, this is just a perfect 10, this is an 11?
Actually, probably I'd have to say Black Candles and Sky's Falling.
All right, I won't disagree with you there. Those are great songs. Yeah, okay. All right, you know what? Actually, I want to keep up with the waste of time. Are there any other songs you're like, we thinking?
Come on.
Go ahead, just with a few. I'm just curious if you think of something like you hate Queen, or you hate or Capture. You know, some of the songs that I think are my personal faves, I think are fantastic songs. And
I've always pushed for Capture the Magic.
Great song.
And I've always pushed for Capture the Magic, but it was one of those songs that wasn't recently it wasn't introduced on every tour until, I think, the summer with Y&T.
Well, it's a catchy song. I think with a crowd.
We've always played it, but we didn't play constantly all the time until the summer, and it's gone over great.
I can definitely hear it.
It goes over great.
You know, it's really melodic and catchy, and I think with the Y&T crowd,
yeah,
with more of a, they're more of a rock crowd than a metal crowd. A song like that, it's so melodic, and the riff just gets stuck in my head every time I hear it. I hear it for hours, even after I'm done listening to it, because that riff just plays over my head. It really does, and that's a compliment. It's not necessarily one of those bad things where you're like, oh, the song just won't get out of my head. This is one of those where it's stuck in my head and stays there, and that's a good thing. I got to ask you about the Y&T tour. I almost half expected there to be an announcement that Jason had dumped the witch and gone to play bass for Y&T.
What's that?
I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a headline online that Jason had become the new bass player for Y&T.
Well, he, funny enough, I mean, he actually got kind of the nod to go ahead and learn a couple tunes in case they were in a squeeze and needed somebody to fill in for Phil. And I remember plain as day. It was we had to cancel. Well, YNT had to cancel a date. It was Springfield, Illinois, because Phil was just ill. They took him to the hospital and they took him to the doctor. So we went on and we headlined the show. And before the show, Jason's out on the phone and making notes and with his bass. He's like, oh, my God. It's like, do you need help? He's like, man, I can't learn all these songs. And, you know, he was jamming out the songs. And later in the day, they said that they were bringing in Brad Lang to fill in. And Jason would have did a great job. And, you know, I just kind of had to laugh because we were in our own hiatus of like, okay, we've been direct support for this whole tour, and tonight we have to headline. Well, Jason's on the van learning YNT songs.
But just think, man, you were that close to finally getting rid of him.
Yeah, if only.
Yeah. It's a good thing he's not listening, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think he's probably podcasting this.
Speaking of the YNT tour, I got to ask you, you know, I don't want to keep you on the line too long. I told you this would be quick, and of course, 20 minutes later, you're still on with us. You got any quick, good stories from the YNT tour?
YNT or Deano, man? I got stories from everywhere.
Well, I imagine you do, but let's start with YNT. I'm guessing that would be a little more G-rated than Deano. I could be wrong on that one. I don't know. But
You're probably wrong on that one. We were free-for-all openers on that tour.
All right, well, let's hear a quickie. Come on. No pun intended.
Right. Well, on a long overdue night stay in a local Walmart parking lot near Denver, it's just stories like that. Like, I wake up and I look out and I see Jason walking around on the sidewalk with a shopping cart and his underwear and sneakers on. At a Safeway in the middle of Midwestern USA. And it's just like, wait, did I just wake up and see that? He's pushing a shopping cart on the sidewalk in his underwear? Really?
Please tell me you have it on video of this.
Yes, we do.
Yes! YouTube. Perhaps you've heard of it.
That will be the Icarus Witch Home video.
Yeah, that'll be in the next long form.
Yeah. DVD is calling you now.
Jason, love you.
All right, well, then I got to ask you about any Deano stories that you can share on the radio.
I got to say that the Deano tours are their own animal in their own right. It's one of those things where you know it's going to be a great night every night, and it's like Christmas morning every day. But the thing is, you wake up hungover.
Really, I'm shocked. On so tour,
if you could imagine being hungover as a 6-year-old kid, then God willing.
Wow. It sounds like we might be losing you there on your cell phone. And,
right on.
Yeah, and so we'll let you go unless you're still in that men's room with that guy, and then we definitely want to let you go. But
not pissing in front of me anymore. There's another guy pissing in front of me.
Oh, great! Thank you for sharing that too.
There's public pitteration everywhere.
and guy and band and heavy metal guys in their underwear pushing shopping carts. And, yeah, this is all. See, you don't get this anywhere else on the radio.
No, certainly
interviews
not.
From the can.
Right.
That's metal.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. From the can. That's all I want to hear.
Right.
Icarus Witch from the can.
Right.
I mean, we're about to play this. we're about to play our 27-minute backstage discussion with you. But, I mean, I think that's already topped by talking to you in the can.
Right.
On the radio. That's awesome, man. All right, Quinn, I got to thank you for staying on the line for 23 minutes while whatever it is you're doing in the men's room. But thanks a lot for calling and giving us an update. One last thing.
Well, personally, right now I'm getting looked at really weird for being in the men's room for 23 minutes.
And you should be.
But I can't hear with all the garbage going on outside. I mean,
right.
God, they got – who knows what's going on outside. They were playing Loverboy earlier, which there's no objection, Loverboy.
Yeah, you guys could cover Loverboy. Come on, you could do a Loverboy tune.
Yeah, Jason's wearing the red leather pants.
So. Oh, I was just thinking the red leather pants with the ass. It's bad enough we're already thinking about him in his underwear. Now we got to think of him in red leather pants. I can't.
Put that on your brain.
You in the men's room, him in the red leather pants. This interview has gone down the crapper. Ha ha,
punny. In more ways than one, my friend.
All right, so I'm going to let you go, but one last thing. When can we expect this new album released?
I will say late summer.
Oh, wow.
Late summer. All right. I'm going to hold you to it.
Cool.
I hope you do.
That's not going to mean anything, but I'll be checking back, like, where's the new record? Where's the new record? All right, cool. All right, so just remind everybody how they can get in touch with you and how they get more information about The Witch. Websites, all that good stuff.
The safest way and easiest way is Facebook, MySpace, of course, IckarsWitch.com. Is always friendly.
Or just wander into your local men's room, public men's room. There you are.
See, that's just bad publicity.
Right.
Hey, there's no such thing as bad publicity, man.
That's what you say.
You've heard of Heavy Metal Parking Lot. It's Heavy Metal Bathroom.
That's a DVD I'd like to watch. I wouldn't. I'd take that back. I don't want to see that. All right, so late summer, new record. Do you have a title yet?
No.
Oh, come on. You know you have one. You just don't want to tell me.
We have ideas. But, Mark, we can't leak that.
Operation Witch Crime? Is that what it is? Operation Witch Crime? Okay, there's...
No. The thing is, I completely retract my Operation Witch Crime reference.
All right. Hey, man, thanks a lot for calling in and talking all things, which we certainly appreciate your time. And
absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy getting out of the men's room quickly and going back into the bar.
Dude, I have to wash my hands like 10 times now.
Go back to the bar, have a chocolate milk, everything will be okay, all right?
No chocolate milk, my friend.
All right. Hey, DeQuinn, take care, man.
All right, bye.
All right. See ya.
You're listening to WSCA LP Portsmouth 106.1 on your FM dial, and we are streaming live online at WSCAFM.org. Myself, Mark, and Jim, host of Turn It Up, we went down to see the Deano Icarus Witch show down in Foxborough, Mass. recently, and after the show, we went backstage with Icarus Witch, hung out with the guys, just kind of sat there in the dressing room area, a green room, and just kind of hung out, talked about Witch, talked about metal, just basically hung out. You know, I hesitate calling this an interview. It literally was just us hanging out with the Witch. So this is what you're going to hear for the next 27 minutes. Basically, we hit record on the recorder. We all talked and then hit stop when we were done talking. And that's pretty much what you're going to hear. I didn't edit out anything. I did a little bit of masking of the F-bombs. But other than that, everything you hear is exactly what happened for about 27 plus minutes. I didn't edit out anything, even in the part where the guys say, okay, cut that out. But we actually didn't. I left it in there. This is WSEA 106.1 FM backstage.
We listened to it just before we left. And we got here just as you were playing it.
Yeah, we missed the first six songs.
Yeah,
because it took 3 hours to get here.
It took forever to get here.
But
I was thinking about yesterday.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We got here and I walk in. You're introducing Tragedy. You start playing. And I'm looking down on the floor and I see one guy and I see ropes. And I'm like, why is it roped off and you can't get down?
At first, it seemed like we couldn't go down there.
So I'm standing in the back watching you play. And then somebody said something, let's go down and watch. I'm like, yeah, but we can't get down. Like, yeah, let's just go.
Like, it's like nobody wants to be the first, you know?
Yeah, there's this one guy. And I honestly thought it was blocked off and it was only for VIPs.
I think other people thought that, or they were just like, Jesus, fucking fucking blows, man. Nobody wants to come
out. Oh, no. Well, you know, I saw the message about the new song posted today.
Jeremy, sorry.
So I'm like, I gotta listen to it before seeing the band because I want to ask about it. Yeah. I'm listening to it thinking, oh boy, I wonder what this is going to be like, you know? And I swear to God, I'm not saying it's just because I'm talking to you. Right now, it's my favorite song by you guys.
Oh, sweet.
Seriously, I heard it. I called it the new one. Tragedy. Seriously, because and I actually called him up and I said,
yeah, he called before
before you pick me up and go to the show, hear the song. Yeah. It's my favorite Wish song right now. It's so melodic, but it's actually very reminiscent. The riff is very reminiscent of something that's been driving me insane for the last like 5 hours. I can't quite place that riff that I've heard. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The song is great. And I was like, see how's the singer going to sound? And, you know, seriously, it's great. And I would imagine that the new record, there's not really going to be any major changes. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Well, we're still writing it, so we don't know yet.
Yeah, I know there's going to be a shitload of shreddy stuff on there, but a shitload of really rough melodic stuff on there. Mm-hmm. The way the material's going now.
It's like finding your legs, and then, like, this one is probably a departure. Tragedy is probably a departure from what Icarus Witch has done before, and part of that's intentional. Part of it came out that way, but if you heard some of the other songs, they're like, you know, farther out, even more progressive than what Icarus Witch has done before. Right. So it'll probably have to gain it over time. You know, it's like finding the sound that these five guys will.
And that's,
you know, finding the niche that,
you know,
these five guys
that's the thing is, before, so like, we had like a proggy kind of background, a lot of prog heads would say, oh man, you know, you guys are awesome. What, you guys should do prog power. Prog power. And it's like, yeah, I want to play it, but I don't want to be considered a prog band.
No, right.
And so, like, you know, the last time, like, Draw Down the Moon, we tried to do the rocky, we were doing the rocky thing. It's like, well, maybe it's time to, you know, what the hell, we'll get a new singer and let's just see what we can do. And so it comes out a little more proggier than we were ever, you know what I mean, as far as, like, solos and breakdowns. And
well, then how much of that was by design, then?
None.
I don't
think.
None.
I think it was just, like, the restrictions were off. Fucking make a song.
See what happens.
And, you know, in the past, we always paid too much attention. Not always, but a lot of times we pay too much attention to, like, is this Icarus Witch or not? And this time we were just like, let's just write a fucking song. Everybody do what they want to do. Everybody pretty much wrote their own part based on what they felt, and that's sort of what came out, so.
I mean, it's not like I hear it. I've only heard it 1.5 times. I had to skip through it, but even when going back through it a second time, I'm thinking, it's weird, but it doesn't sound like a different band, but at the same time, I was thinking, God, it almost sounds like the band's reborn. I don't know, it's just one song, but I didn't hear, okay, it's just another Witch song. No, I didn't get that vibe at all.
Yeah, definitely.
No,
it was totally fresh. I mean, it was like, you know, 3 new band members on record, new producer. You know, there was so much about it that was, like, breaking out of our previous mold. And not to denigrate anything we had done in the past, but, you know, we'd been with the same producer, you know, since we started, and he moved, so we were sort of forced into a new situation, and it worked out great, you know. And
it's one of those things where, like, sometimes you have to try to get in a writing process, and, like, everyone's mindset was already in it. And
your legs.
Yeah, you know, everyone's mindset was already in it, and the addition of 3 members helped out completely. It's like, all right, let's show the face of the new band and do it.
We got a lot more, though. I mean, we meant to have that one out before the Y&T tour. It's just that we went almost straight from the Last Diana tour into Y&T. There wasn't really, you know, and then
not much
Chris
layover.
Joined right before that tour. You know, that was, like, his first, basically, introduction to the band was, like, being thrown to the wolves on that tour. So, you know, we haven't had as much time as we had in the past to sit there and craft things, so it took a little longer, but we've got
we've got
a lot more in the can. We've got enough in various stages for the next album. It's just a matter of, like, getting off this tour and then taking the time to sit there and say, okay, everybody put their phones away, let's just really put our nose to the grindstone and make a new album.
Well, how much of it is needs more to, how much more writing do you have to do versus it's just you got the written, it's written, you just need to piece it together.
Maybe it's like, you know, it's refining.
The skeleton's there, we just gotta flesh it out.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
A lot.
And the thing is, like, a lot of bands will go in, and I mean, they'll go in, okay, they'll come up with 9 ideas and finish those 9 ideas. I want to go in there with 12 ideas, pick the best.
Pick the best 10
or 11 or whatever. Right. If all 12's great, yeah, then screw it, it'll be a 12-song album, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's the way I want to do it.
And that's something we've never had the luxury of.
Yeah, because we've always been
writing
time
in the studio.
Yeah.
Label wants another album, another tour coming up, under the gun. So hopefully this time, since we're taking a little more time, sort of.
I think it's funny that how, getting back to tragedy, just, I mean, it did progress. Quinn came in with a riff, and it took me weeks before I got something melodically that I thought, that's it, you know, that I'm really happy with. And then it progressed again, and then Jason puts his spin on it, and then Ed comes up with a guitar part that nobody thought about, and then this gets added, and it just all developed, and just giving everybody the room to do it.
That's I think that's what it takes. That's awesome. And everybody has their, like you said, everybody has their spin on it. That's awesome.
You know, initially I was very disappointed when I'm listening to the song thinking this is not the Bee Gees song, Tragedy.
I wish. We talked about covering that.
Yeah.
Really?
We're big fans.
I love their disco phase even after they left the whole folk thing behind, and I love that stuff.
That's
something,
their best tune.
If Wish would cover Tragedy, that's one of their absolute best tunes. But on the show, like, oh, this isn't the Bee Gees. Come on, guys.
Awesome.
No, but it worked. Seriously, it worked out great.
You got to do the microphone explosion,
really,
too.
Screaming
ass. Tragedy! Well, you were saying before about previously being overly concerned with, you know, it does this sound like Wish. I mean, was that... Did you feel like you had to have a certain sound on those records, or, I mean, was there any sort of label pressure or expectations for fans?
I would say no, because, I mean, we've always written from the heart, you know, like, if you take from the EP all the way up until, you know, Draw Down the Moon, every element of a Sick or Switch is just, like, some of it has a little bit more raw production, like Draw Down the Moon is really raw.
Yeah.
Songs for the Lost is really produced. Yeah, it's like we wanted to do like a clean record type album. And the thing is, I don't want to count that out because I don't think we've achieved that yet. You know, I want our Operation Minecraft. You know, I want that. You know, I want to have something that's you know, makes people sit back and be like, this is going to be a great album for the rest of the life. And so you're never done writing. You know, you're never done. Yeah, you know, and the thing is, we don't have like an archetype to say, okay, we're going to do this, and this. He'll write, I'll write, Ed writes, Chris writes, and that's why he's such a great addition as a vocalist, because he plays guitar. He's a fabulous guitar player.
But if you wait too long, you could fucking write the same song for years and years.
Exactly.
Right. Sooner or later, you got to say,
was the quote that you had?
What's that?
A great song isn't finished, it's abandoned. Or is that something Dave said?
I don't know. I'll take credit for it.
Well, when looking back on the past albums, I mean, are you one of those kind of musicians like, oh God, I can't take it. I hear all the mistakes. Or do you not even bother with them? I mean, is the past the past?
Not mistakes. It's just, I mean, you know, we've been at it for over half a decade now, so a lot of the stuff that we were writing 5 years ago, it doesn't excite me the same way it might have half a decade ago, you know? It's like, I'm proud of everything we've done, but a lot of, you know, I don't sit there and, like, listen to our old albums or anything and be like, you know, that's it, that's our sound, or that's what we gotta do. It's like, I'm proud of it because that's the best we could do at that point in time, and I like to think that we're always progressing, hopefully, but, you know, I think our best record is the next one. I always feel that way, you know, and that's what keeps us kind of driving toward hitting the ultimate song or whatever. You know, for me, it's all about just writing great songs, not being part of any scene or
trend
or like that.
Anything like that.
How often do you guys get asked about that? Because I read a few interviews where,
or whatever.
Well, a part of a scene, because I'm sure you've done so many interviews where people are bringing up about, you know, this is the latest trend in metal, and you guys get lumped in with a lot of bands.
I mean,
bow to no trends.
Yeah.
That's our motto.
Yeah.
You know,
and the thing is, what's funny is, like, all of a sudden, you know, there's this, you know, big traditional metal push. And if you look back at our catalog, we were doing way before that trend. You know, we were playing music that we loved. You know, what we wanted to hear on the radio is what we were playing.
Yeah, so I never felt bad about being put into that category because I felt like that came to us. You know, we weren't jumping on any bandwagon at that point. If they wanted to call what we had been doing anyway something new, that's fine. If it gets us more press or some new kids are listening to it, that's great.
We were playing Dio metal long before it was popular again. You know what I mean?
When we got the Roses EP at our station, I'd never heard of the band. I didn't know anything about it. I saw the band name, you know, the track titles, and I Alice Cooper cover. Okay, I got to check this out. Loved it, which is why I played it so much, and that's why I got in contact with you, because I was so impressed with EP. And we still play that to this day. Though. We don't just stick to the new stuff. We'll play it. We'll play it all. Which is why I was really pleased with, even though we missed six songs of the set because of our 3-hour drive here. I was pleased with the fact you guys covered pretty much everything. And
yeah, we try to touch on all eras, whatever you want to call it. You know?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the set list. Okay, missed that one. Wanted to hear that one. Missed that one. I wanted to ask you about the covers, though. You've done a few covers.
Yes.
Plans for the next record to throw something on there?
Nope.
No, not on the album.
Not unless something just comes up and is organically, you know, part of
might
our
leak
our
something.
Sound. What's that?
We might leak something.
Can I get you guys to start breaking down and stuff? Just because we're going to probably, once he's done, we're going to be locking the doors and get out of here. And I'm going to have Amy just come back and just clean up the trash and stuff. Do you want to bring all your drinks and everything with you? I don't know if you guys are traveling.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll have her not touch any of that. Just get rid of the trash then.
Yep.
Cool, thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sounded good. Hope you guys had fun out there. Sounded great.
Cut that bit. what was the question?
I don't know, I'm not finished yet.
Oh, I think
covers.
Yeah. So nothing on the next record.
Well,
if
our label had any influence on us, it was that, because Cleopatra is sort of a non-traditional label, and part of what they have been very successful with is putting out tribute albums, and cover albums, things like that. So a lot of times, like, our first introduction to the metal scene was by doing the Sabbath tribute, Evil Lives. I mean, we did Falling Off the Edge of the World, and since Cleopatra had such an emphasis on that, you know, we didn't turn Tish down in the beginning because it was like, oh, you want us to be on a Ozzy tribute with Vince Neil and George Lynch and guys from The Who and shit. Yeah, okay, it's like sort of a no-brainer because, you know, it's just additional exposure and it's fun and it's songs we like to play anyway. So there was a stretch there for a while in the beginning where it felt like that's all we were doing. So I don't actually like doing covers that much. I mean, no offense, Paul, but I prefer writing and, you know, so we don't have any plans for the next record, but we fuck around a lot and sometimes stuff comes up that, yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, hence the Steve McCurr shirt.
Well, I was going to say I like that shirt.
This isn't colors, though, technically.
No, this is the real deal.
If there's someone from
he said it at the beginning.
Then it's not covered.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
And as much as I'd want to hear you guys do some more covers, it'd be hard to top the Leopard cover.
Thank you.
The song choice, first of all, from the High and Dry record, which is an amazing album. I love that album. And then you pick the one song that fits the band perfectly of any song on the record. It would definitely be a mirror, man.
We did that the whole last tour on the one that he tour. We did it almost every night.
Awesome.
Yeah, just because it fit the set right, the set that we just picked out, fit right in the crowd, and, you know. Really responsive. Since you're ripping to it, what better of a crowd to play it to than YNT?
Exactly.
You know,
classic rock fans or whatever. But it's one of those songs. I don't think every band, you know, would A, know that song or pick that song. I think that's kind of
And just C, have, get Joe and Turner.
Yeah, get Joe.
Exactly.
And how cool is that?
That's killer.
Don't take a lot of it.
Speaking of Joe and Turner, I think the guy's a fantastic singer. I think Joe's great. But I've always worshipped at the altar of Yngwie ever since I was a kid. But man, his vocals on Odyssey, on the Yngwie album Odyssey.
You don't dig it?
I disagree.
That is the worst. I love the songs, even the pop songs.
Ride in the Dungeon.
That's a fantastic record, but he is so
that's
out
the
of
cover.
Place.
That's it. Just for that. That's the cover.
He is so out of that'd be a great cover. He's so out of place on that album. He should not. He's so out of place.
Well, that's not his fault. Yngwie just wants to do everything.
The Richie Blackmore.
It's obvious why he chose him.
My favorite guitar player.
I mean, to this day, I still can't listen to Odyssey and think Joe just should not have been on this record. And he's a fantastic singer.
Totally disagree. I'm an Yngwie Mark Bowles fan.
So I Trilogy.
Yes.
One of the best vocal performances. Yeah.
It's Jeff Soto and Mark Bowles.
Jeff is the ultimate for me.
But Heaven Tonight, I mean, that was on commercial radio.
That song made it to number 40 on the charts.
Hey, make me a hit. Make me something that's on the charts.
Yes, do the same thing for me that you did for Richie.
Yeah, exactly.
We got our Dungeon Metal out of the way. I'm going to get us on the radio.
Bring me a goddamn Street of Dreams, and that's what he did.
Exactly.
All right, so how about The Witch? Come on, radio tunes. Come on.
Let's see.
You never know, man. You never know.
You're the radio station.
you gotta give me something to work with, guys. Come on, man.
I think Tragedy should be.
See? You know. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We didn't mean for it to be 5 minutes and 24 seconds long.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll make it radio edit.
Yeah. I don't know. I think radio's
going
to
be man. We don't like edits. No
yeah,
edits.
Radio
we don't like
get
edits.
Out of editing.
No edits. No. Play the full song. Absolutely.
Cut out a couple commercials.
Yeah,
exactly.
I can hear less about Jiffy Lube and more metal.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I know used car lot commercials is more music. Yeah. Remember you won't remember this, but I'll remind you. When we were trading emails, like this is 4 or 5 years ago, and you were saying you always wanted to come up to Maine, and
yeah.
It's funny, you actually said you envision it like a Scooby-Doo cartoon, where it was like, you know, fog and like, it's really like that. It's really, really
I've been to Maine a couple times. I have friends up there, and like if you go around Bar Harbor.
Yep.
You're gonna get lobster down by Harbor.
That's where Joseph Xavier Holmes.
I was gonna say that song you did on the Capture LP.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That was based on a true story.
But how did that come about? I had never found out how that came about.
I was actually on a vacation in just south of Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
And I was staying at a place called the Inn by the Sea. And in the hotel literature, they had a story about the residential ghost named Lydia Carver, who perished in a shipwreck off of the coast. And it was said to still haunt the inn. And, you know, her tombstone was actually on the grounds there. You could see it. So it just hit me. It was just like this is an amazing story, and I'm actually like here in the thick of it. So I took that idea back to Pittsburgh and Matt at the time, and told him about it and kind of got him excited about it. And so we wrote a story about the ghost of Lydia Carver and the shipwreck.
So it can be just that simple. Hotel literature inspires you to write.
Yep.
We get a shot.
Whatever. Any other odd inspiration that one might find that, wow, hotel literature, really? And you get a great song out of it.
Well, it was a true ghost story that I was actually, like, privy to the grounds where the tombstone was and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of ensconced in the whole environment, and it was pretty inspirational for me. But, yeah, I mean, great ideas can come from anywhere.
Well, being a couple of guys here from Maine, we
I was
going
to say, our New England listeners will love to hear that story. That's awesome.
We're actually, if you go to the Inn by the Seas website, they actually mention Icarus Witch on there, or at least they used to. I haven't been there for a while.
No kidding.
But they mentioned, when they're talking about the the history of Lydia Carver and everything. And this band, Icarus Witch, sung about Lydia and the song Save Her Home. So,
So if he can be inspired by hotel literature, what about you? Any other odd occurrences?
The fire exit plan. That's going to be the next track. It's like...
Fire exit plan.
Shit up.
I'm
going to have to make a left now. No, I don't know. Hotel literature...
I mean, so you've never been standing in a line at a fast food place, look at the menu and be inspired? Anything?
Do I look like I've been standing
in a line? Well, if you're waiting for your salad,
No, I don't know. I get inspiration by weird things. I'm more, I don't know. I hear something and then it kind of sparks something, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, ah, when, as soon as I'm playing or as soon as I'm in riding mode, like, oh, I just heard this story from a guy or whatever. That's really cool. Just go look into that or whatever. Like, I was watching this on his channel or something or whatever. But, yeah, I'll hear stuff and hear stories or hear...
relationships.
Yeah.
You know, all the usual ish, you know, ex-band members that
yeah.
still piss you off.
And say you get a lot of angst out of different things and a lot of, not even anger, but just a drive to write and reasons to write, you know what I mean, out of weird places for me.
But we write metaphorically quite a bit as well, so it's like a song might be inspired by our feeling of like, you know, this is our band, this is our time, this is what we got to do. But we, you know, traditionally we don't write anthems like that.
Yeah,
so.
But here's one thing to look out for. The road song, there hasn't been an Icarus Witch road song, so.
Right. Well, we hadn't spent as much time on the road as we have. 2010's been.
Yeah, busy year.
More on the road than.
Three U.S. tours in 1 year.
Wow.
So. And, yeah, so.
So we're going to get a road song.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a road song and maybe a little rip on Paul or something in the song and a little inside joke. That's cool.
We're like, fucking Christmas time.
Don't even get Christmas off.
I'm looking forward to that because get all cheap, you don't have to buy any presents.
That's there you go.
Presents for Christmas tour.
Yeah, that no present, you man. Get. I got nothing.
going back to the whole cover tune thing, it's kind of a tired subject, I know, but based on your sound over all the albums you've done, you kind of satisfied that desire a little bit with the Leopard cover, but I've wanted to hear you guys take on like an 80s LA band song. I've never been able to place what song it could
Starry
be.
Starry Eyes?
We poke around stuff in practice.
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking, yeah, it's not even an L.A. band, but I'm thinking maybe some Say What You Will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've done some Fast Way at
certain
shows.
Yeah, we played Say What You Will out a few times.
Did we do that at that festival with Twisted Sister?
We were going to, we didn't.
I don't remember.
We played the show before and the show after, I think.
Okay. Fast Way.
Yeah, that,
we always threatened this. Crocus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this guy doesn't mean fucking Sriracha. We always threaten.
All right, well, if you do a mean Sriracha, then what do you want to do? Yeah, there's got to be something you're just itching to do.
One of my favorites. All time. Absolutely.
That was the only thing we heard from him before we, like, hired him. So we hired him based on Sriracha. So we almost have to do that.
Right.
Anyway, I was thinking Body Talk from Rat. I'm just...
Oh! Chris and
Steve could actually do it.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, Steve, funny story Steve about Kiersey. Me and Chris. Me and Chris, before Icarus Witch, we were both in the same band together and played, like, just a lot of the 80s-style metal, 80s-style rock and roll. And, you know, that's why I grew to love the man. Not in a gay kind of fang way, but he does have beautiful straight hair.
I wasn't in that band, so I'm...
Yeah, but you came to hire both of us out of that band.
That's true. I was up on a... Speaking of hair metal, I was up on a vacation trip to see Cinderella at the
Great
Erie
band.
Civic Center, is that what it's called?
Great band.
And their band was playing at the local pub there, and me and the singer at the time, he didn't know I was scouting the future singer, but we went over to fucking, you know, kind of scout some talent and ended up taking Quinn, and Quinn eventually brought in Chris. So, yeah, thanks to Tom Kiefer.
Tom Kiefer.
Tom Kiefer.
Awesome.
Tom Kiefer
said this Civic Center show.
A little in-state help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For a duffer.
So you grew up listening to Cinderella, did you?
Oh, we all did.
I still do.
Night song.
Yeah.
Oh.
See? We were having this discussion on the way here. Night songs.
Absolutely.
Night songs.
Or Long Cold Winter.
Which one?
I don't know.
Well, Night Songs. Well, Night Songs is a better guitar sound, but Long Cold Winter has better songs.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is it?
Once around the last mile.
Come on.
Night
Songs itself.
Night Songs is a fucking hit on Night Songs.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
And the album cover, you can't.
Somebody Save Me is a great song. It'll always be one of the best. But
we just saw him open. Chris and I went to see him open for Scorpions this summer, and they still.
I saw them back in July. They were killer.
Still got it.
Killer.
Great band.
Amazing.
Okay, that settles it. You do a Cinderella. Now you got to do it.
But it's probably gonna be like we're gonna have to change it. It'll be like Gypsy Witch Road.
That's something else.
You never know. You might hear something completely weird.
Like
Uriah Heep.
Well, that's not weird. That's not too weird.
I love you.
Finn Lizzy.
Yeah.
Been on a big Lizzy kick in the last couple tours.
Right. So you never know. And it's one of those things where we always jam, like, we jam out covers. Like, all the time, jamming out of practice. And it's like, whatever we want to record, we'll go ahead and go in and do it just because it's
Stargazer.
Awesome.
I think they can pull off Rainbow Stargazer.
I'm thinking Death Alley Driver.
All right.
Well, is that the one? No, we did Stranded.
Yeah.
That was before you joined the band.
Jealous Lover. Oh, okay.
Jealous Lover.
That's a great song. Which actually covered Stranded.
I cheat too. This brown one.
I think we did it at one show.
That was enough for you?
It didn't work as well as we had hoped it would with that particular lineup, but great proto-metal song, if you will.
I have a confession to make. For 5 years, I've been playing you guys, and I've always called you Ikara Switch.
Yeah, whatever.
And
They do the same thing in Sao Paulo and San Juan, Puerto Rico.
I've said, look, I've screwed it up for 5 years, but I can't call you anything else but a car.
But you're a maniac, so I have
to blame it on
as
the
long
mainers.
As it's spelled right on the playlist, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we get that right.
The Rose of California, so that was
Oh, yeah.
The guy at that bar, that's going to be interesting.